So, Lord, we pray that there may be love shared among us as a church, now and always. Amen. So there's something very practical about our readings today. They speak about how Christians are to live with one another, not simply in the church, but in ordinary relationships, sometimes difficult relationships. Paul says in Romans, owe no one anything except to love one another. And Jesus says in Matthew's, if a member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when two of you are alone. At first, these passages may seem to be about different things. Romans speaks of love and Christian living. Matthew speaks about conflict and discipline within the church. But actually, they're deeply connected. The way we deal with people when relationships become difficult is one of the clearest tests of really whether we love them. It's easy to love people when everything's going well. It's much harder to love someone who's hurt us, or disappointed us, or offended us, or behaved in a way that we believe is wrong. And yet that is precisely where the gospel becomes real. Paul begins with a striking command. Owe no one anything except to love one another. Love, says Paul, is the one debt we should never consider fully paid. We can repay money, we can settle an account, we can fulfill an obligation. But when it comes to love, there is always more love to give. We never reach the point of saying, I've loved enough, I've forgiven enough, I've been patient enough, I've done my duty, now I can stop caring. Christian love is not a transaction. It's not, I'll love you if you love me, I'll forgive you if you apologise properly, I'll be kind to you if you deserve it. Christian love is rooted in what God has already done for us. We love because God first loved us. He set the standard, and Paul tells us that love fulfills the law. Why? Because if we genuinely love our neighbour, we'll not want to harm them. We'll not steal from them. We'll not lie about them. We'll not exploit them. We'll not deliberately destroy their reputation. We will not treat them as an inconvenience. Love changes the way we see another person. Instead of seeing an enemy, we begin to see a person made in the image of God. Instead of seeing someone who's failed, we see someone whom God still loves. And that brings us directly to the Matthew reading. Jesus said, if another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. Notice what Jesus does not say. He does not say, tell everybody else first. He does not say, complain against them. He does not say, put your version of the story on social media. Now, last year, my daughter had a WhatsApp to do with the school. And after a few months, she decided to delete it because she was getting so many parents complaining about the particular child, and she was getting complaints about her children, and decided that she'd had enough. And they weren't taking it to the head teacher. They were just banging it around on the social media. Jesus doesn't say, gather people who agree with you. He says, go. Go to the person. And notice something else that Jesus says. When the two of you are alone. There is an enormous amount of wisdom in these words. When we're hurt, our first instinct is to talk about it with somebody else. We tell a friend, then another friend, then perhaps somebody else. And with every telling, the story becomes bigger. The problem becomes more complicated. The other person becomes worse in our minds. And eventually, we may be talking with someone with whom we have never actually spoken. Jesus gives us a different way. He said, go directly. Speak honestly. Speak privately. Speak with the hope of restoration. This is not about winning an argument. It's about winning our brother or our sister back. Jesus says, if the member listens to you, you have regained that one. That's the goal. Restoration. Not humiliation. Not revenge. Not proving that we were right. The goal is to restore the relationship. Speaking the truth is part of love. Sometimes we misunderstand Christian love. We think love means avoiding difficult conversations. We say, I don't want to cause trouble. I'll just keep quiet. It's easier to say nothing. And sometimes that is wise. But sometimes silence is not love. If someone is damaging themselves, damaging others, or behaving in a way that destroys a relationship, simply ignoring it may not be loving. Jesus tells us to speak. But notice the order. Firstly, privately. That means the conversation should be humble and respectful. It's not, you're a terrible person. It is, something's happened between us and we need to talk about it. There is difference between confronting someone and condemning someone. Confrontation can be an act of love. Condemnation says, you're the problem. Love says, something's gone wrong, and I want us to find a way forward. So what happens when they don't listen? Jesus continues, if you're not listened to, take one or two others along with you. Again, the purpose is not to create a crowd against the person. It's about establishing truth, seeking wisdom, protecting the relationship from becoming simply one person's word against another. And if the matter cannot be resolved, Jesus said you may need to bring it before the wider church. And this is where we see something important about the Christian community. The church community is not a community where nothing ever goes wrong, as I guess Catherine will tell you. People can hurt one another. People can misunderstand one another. People can sin. They can make mistakes. The Christian community is not a group of perfect people. It's a community of people who are learning to live under the grace of God. And therefore, we need ways of dealing with failure. We need forgiveness. We need truth. We need accountability. We need patience. And above all, we need love. At the end of this teaching, Jesus says these familiar words. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. We often hear these words used when only a few people have turned up to church. Don't worry, where two or three are gathered, Jesus is there. And that's certainly true. But in its context, these words are also about reconciliation and discernment. Jesus is saying that when his people gather in his name to deal honestly with difficult things, he's present. And that should change the way we approach conflict. Before we have a difficult conversation, we should remember, Jesus is there. Before we speak, we should pray. Before we accuse, we should examine our own heart. Before we demand justice, we should remember the mercy we've received. Before we walk away from someone, we should ask, Lord, what would love require me to do? Paul provides another powerful image in Romans 13. He says, you know what time it is? How it is now the moment for you to awake from sleep? And then the night is far gone. The day is near. Paul is talking about the return of Christ and the urgency of Christian living. He tells us, lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armour of light. And this is a wonderful image. We're people of the light. So we should not live as though we belong to darkness. We should not allow bitterness, resentment, gossip, jealousy, dishonesty, or hatred to control our lives. We're called to put on the armour of light. And perhaps one of the places where that armour is most needed is in our relationships, because darkness can enter a relationship very quietly. A small offence, a misunderstanding, a hurtful comment, a resentment that's never addressed. a conversation that never happens, and gradually something that could have been healed becomes a permanent division. So Paul says, wake up. The night is far gone. The day is near. Don't live in darkness when Christ has called you into the light. Paul concludes, instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. So what does that mean? It means that when people look at our lives, they should see something of Jesus. When we're offended, put on Christ. When we disagree, put on Christ. When someone has failed, put on Christ. When we've been treated unfairly, put on Christ. When we need to have a difficult conversation, we put on Christ. And what does Jesus Christ look like? Truth and grace, justice and mercy, courage and compassion, holiness and forgiveness. Jesus never pretended that sin didn't matter, but neither did he treat sinners as though they were beyond redemption. He came to seek the lost and the saved. He came to reconcile, he came to restore, he came to bring people from darkness into light. So these readings give us a very practical challenge today. Perhaps there's somebody we need to speak to. Perhaps there's a relationship that's become strained. Perhaps somebody has hurt us. Perhaps we have hurt somebody else. Perhaps there's something that we've been carrying for a long time. The temptation may be to avoid it, or to talk about it with everybody else except the person involved, or to allow resentment to grow. But Jesus says, go. Go humbly, privately, prayerfully. Go with a desire not to win, but to restore. And perhaps before we have that conversation, we need to pray, Lord Jesus, help us see this person as you see them. Help us to speak truthfully without cruelty. Help us to listen without becoming defensive. Help us to admit where we're wrong. Help us to forgive where we've been hurt. And help us, if it's possible, to find a way back to one another. That is what it means to owe one another the debt of love. So as we thought about at the beginning, Paul writes, owing no one anything except to love one another. Matthew tells us what love can look like when things go wrong. Love does not mean pretending that nothing's happened. It doesn't mean avoiding the difficult conversations. It means caring enough to speak the truth. It means caring enough to speak, to listen, to forgive. And love means caring enough to seek restoration. As Paul said, the night is gone, the day is near. So let's wake up. Let's put aside the works of darkness. Put on the armour of light. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And let us remember that the one debt we can never finish paying is that of love. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for calling us to love one another, to walk in your light, and to seek reconciliation when we're hurt or divided. Help us to put aside anger, pride and resentment, and to clothe ourselves with Christ. Give us the courage to speak the truth with love, humility to listen, and grace to forgive. May our lives reflect your love, and may our church be a place of unity, healing, and prayer. Amen.
The first reading is taken from Romans chapter 13, beginning at verse 8 to the end. Let no doubt remain outstanding, except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And whatever other commands there may be are summed up in this one command: love your neighbour as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbour. Therefore, love is the fulfilment of the law. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber. Because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over, the day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh.
The book of Matthew, chapter 18, verses 15 to 20. If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them.